The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man, and birds, and animals, and reptiles. Good morning. Passages from Romans 1, verses 18 through 23. And you probably recognize that passage as being used for proving the existence of God. I'm going to take another direction here in a minute from that. This says, for since the creation of the world, okay, long before the gospel was preached, you can read, the time frame there from being before the flood, after the flood, but certainly before the gospel was preached, probably before, the Mosaic law came around. And it says that, men had knowledge of God. It says, although they knew God, 21st verse, for although they knew God, they had knowledge of God. You know, they weren't without it. We're told that right there. And it says, the scripture says that the knowledge of God was clearly seen. Was clearly seen by what has been made. Which told the men at that time that they should have been able to look around in nature and know that there was a creator. Keep in mind, it says, although they knew God, and it was from the very foundation of the earth, since the creation of the world, his eternal power, which is the things about him, which are his eternal power and divine nature. It says, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, and those invisible qualities are his eternal power and divine nature, it says that they are clearly seen. We're all familiar with Psalms 19, verses 1 and 2, which says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show his handiwork. The heavens declare the glory of God. The glory of God and his handiwork. Verse 20 says in Romans, first chapter, they're without excuse. They had knowledge of God, the heavens showeth his handiwork, but they still worshiped idols. In verse 21, it says, they neither glorified him as God, nor give thanks to him. They neither glorified him as God. Glorify means to magnify or to praise or to ascribe honor to. There are several other definitions or words. Those are the three I chose. To magnify, to praise, or to ascribe honor to. And it says here in this passage that the men did not glorify God as God. They didn't give thanks to him. The verse says, as a result of that, their hearts were darkened. Their hearts were darkened. They worshiped idols instead of God. They did not glorify God as God. So they became vain in their imaginations. Didn't recognize God as the creator. You know, if God didn't create the world, most any theory that comes about is after that is just a guess. You know, if God didn't create mankind, then any other theory probably just doesn't hold up. I had a guy say to me one time, if man evolved from monkeys, why do we still have monkeys? You might stop and chuckle about that, but if you stop and think about that statement, it might be more profound than you think. If our evolution is to where we are now, why do we still have the forerunner of that evolution? If we eliminate God, all that's left is darkness. These men did not glorify God. They did not give thanks to God. And they were given to their vain imaginations and over to darkness. This was the pagan world. Today, how many people call themselves Christians and have Bibles and never open them? How many people live close to a church building and never go in? How many people call themselves Christians but don't heed the warning? How many people today do not glorify God as God? We're told to glorify God. And I'd like to read John 17 and 4. Jesus is praying to God here and he says, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. There's our example. How do we glorify God? We do the work. I believe the King James says, finish the work. Jesus finished the work and glorified God. We need to do the work. We need to do what God tells us. We're children of God, are we not? We're children of God. We're part of the family. We're in the family of God. We need to reflect honorably upon that family. You know, a family that has a child who is obedient, who is capable, who never gets in trouble, reflects well upon his family. And a child who is in trouble all the time and worries his parents is not. We need to be one of those that reflect the glory of God. There are a lot of times, a lot of men, a lot of people who have their own basis in morality and righteousness. We need to have God's basis. Jeremiah 10 and 23 says, it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. In Acts chapter 10, we're introduced to Cornelius. And the description goes as such. A devout man. He feared God with all his house. He gave much alms to the people. He prayed to God always. And an angel came to him. What did the angel tell him to do? Told him to get Peter. Why? So Peter could tell him what he had to do to be saved. So mankind's ideas are not always complete. We have to go with what God wants. In chapter 11, we're told the message that Peter preached. Let's go to Acts 11 and 14. Which says, going back to the last of the 13th, send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved. So here's a man who was devout, prayed to God, and he still needed the message of Jesus Christ. He still needed the message of righteousness, of God's basis in righteousness to be saved. If we're to glorify God, our basis of morality and righteousness have to be those of God. They have to come from God, not man. We have to do that work. Be examples of that work. Finish that work. In Ephesians 3 and 21, we read, "Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ." Unto him be glory by the church of Jesus Christ. God receives glory in the church. God receives glory in the church of Jesus Christ. What did Jesus tell Peter? "Upon this rock I will build my church." Around 306 AD, Constantine became emperor of Rome. And he ruled Rome in conjunction with several other emperors up until 324 AD, when he became sole ruler of the Roman Empire, and he ruled until 337 AD when he died. Constantine is known as the emperor who decided to Christianize the Roman Empire. He was going to make Rome a Christian nation. And we got some of this in the study in Revelation. You know, when I was a kid in school, I didn't like history. But as I get older and become part of history, I like it better. And a lot of world history coincides right with the Bible. If you were at our study in Revelation, you should have caught some of that. A lot of it goes right along. A lot of the biblical history goes right along with world history. But Constantine decided to make the Roman Empire a Christian empire, and his efforts resulted eventually in the apostate church. And eventually, the church drifted into what's known as the Dark Ages. Lasted roughly from the 6th century to the 16th century. And it's called the Dark Ages because the Bible was repressed from the people and they were in darkness. Apostate church didn't want the people to know what the Bible said. A light was hidden from them. Then along comes the printing press, along came Bibles, and along came Martin Luther. And you're probably familiar with him posting his 95 Theses. And then we have the Reformation, and the Reformation was started by mankind, not by God. And it resulted in what we know now as the denominations. What did Martin Luther say? "Don't name the church after me." The man did it. In Psalms 127 and 1, we read, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." Also read Matthew 15, verses 13 and 14. "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them, they're blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into the pit." I think one of the translations I read said the ditch. They'll fall into the ditch. We hear a lot in our society today about this church and that church, my church, his church, her church. I don't know how many religious bodies we have in this country today. I think last time I read and checked, it was over 300 different religious bodies in this country alone. You can Google it. I don't know if that number is accurate or not, but there's a lot of them. They begin at various times, various places. They have different names, different doctrines, different practices. I read a saying once that said, "Religion in our country today is nothing but a babble of voices." Religion in our country today is nothing but a babble of voices. You remember the Tower of Babel? What did God do to their language? confused it, confused their language. Religion in our country today is confusion. Christ Church. Upon this rock, Christ says, I will build my church. We need to be in that church. We need to know how to get in. We need to know how to live in it. We need to know how to stay in it. We need to know how to stay out of everything else. Because in Christ's church, we glorify God. Keep in mind Ephesians 3:21. God is glorified in the church by Jesus Christ. 1 Peter, now 1 Peter 4:16 says, if any man suffers as a Christian, the King James says, let him be glorified in this behalf. I think my translation says, praise God in his name. If any man suffers as a Christian. In Acts 40 and 41, we read about the apostles in front of the Sanhedrin and the high priest. And if you remember, of course, the Sanhedrin wound up throwing him in prison. And Gamaliel gets up and speaks, and he basically says, let him go. And if you remember Gamaliel, he was probably the most noted teacher of the Mosaic law of his time. Remember, Paul says, I was a Jew of Jews, brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. Gamaliel was very well known, very renowned, and he must have had enough influence on the Sanhedrin that they let the apostles go. Now, of course, they had to beat him up first. It says they flogged him and let him go. And then it says the apostles went on their way and they rejoiced for being worthy of their suffering for that name. And that name is Jesus Christ. They rejoiced because they were followers of Jesus Christ. They were Christians. Christian means follower of Christ. And in verse 42, we read that they never stopped proclaiming the good news. In Isaiah 62 and 2, Israel is told that they'd have a new name. And the name spoken there eventually would be Christian. And then around Acts chapter 10, around 40 A.D., we had talked about Cornelius earlier. We read about the conversion of Cornelius, the first Gentile. And then in chapter 11, almost immediately, we read that the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. You remember God changed Jacob's name to Israel. The Jacobites then became Israelites. Israel, I was surprised at the meanings. I've always thought it meant wrestles with God. There's perseveres with God, prince of God. There's a lot of meanings. Israel ends in E-L, and that in the Hebrew, that means Jehovah. And Jacob's name was changed to Israel because God gave his people that name in the Old Testament. In the New Covenant, God gives us a new name, including the Jews, the Gentiles and the Jews alike. And that name is Christian. We need to be followers of Jesus. We need to glorify God by wearing the name Christian. John 8 and 12, Jesus says, I am the light. That light is the word of God. Ephesians 5 and 1 says, be ye imitators of God. Ephesians 5 and 8 says, walk as children of light. Live like you know what the word of God says. Matthew 5 and 16. Okay. In the same way, let your light shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your God in heaven. My translation says praise. King James says glorify your God in heaven. Let your light shine before men, so that men may see it as children of light. We need to do what God wants. Then what? Your Father in heaven will be glorified. I came across a poem which reads, "We are the only Bible the we are the only Bible the careless world will read. We are the Lord's last message, written in deed or word. What if the type is crooked? What if the print is blurred? We are the Lord's last message. What if the type is crooked? What if the print is blurred? We have to live our lives so that we reflect the word of God. We have to show men the glory of God in us. Then he will be glorified." 1 Corinthians 10 and 31 says, "So whatever you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it to the glory of God." Whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. Remember, praise, honor, majesty, the glory of God. A life committed to his word, faithfully and joyfully serving him. And what does the scripture say about loving him? With all your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind. How many times, as you live your life, do you think, "Well, I better not do that because I want to go to heaven. Or maybe I better do something this way because I want to go to heaven." I think a lot about that. And the older I get, the more I think about it, and the more I think, I really want to get to heaven. How many times maybe though should we think, "Maybe I'll do that because it glorifies God. Maybe I'll not do that because it'll glorify God. Maybe I want to do this so that people will see that I'm a Christian. Maybe I want to do this because the glory of God will shine through." Because if we reflect the glory of God in this life, we can have the glory of everlasting life in heaven. We must glorify God. Whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. With that, I'll offer the gospel invitation. One of the ways to start glorifying God is to become a member of his family, to become a member of the church. And that is to confess your sins, to be baptized. So we offer that opportunity now. If you have any other need that needs to come before the congregation, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.